always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this?
And we're live. Welcome, everybody, here to the Lakers Lounge Podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin, Senior Lakers Insider, as well as lead Lakers content creator for Offside, joined on this fine, what is it, Harrison, Wednesday?
Today is Wednesday, yeah.
Wednesday by Harrison Fagan. And today on the show, we're going to be talking about the last like 50 games or so, right? We are basically a game away from, or actually a game away from the trade deadline. So I'm going to talk about the season or the, what did I say? The All-Star break, not the trade deadline.
Yeah.
It's on the front of my mind, but,
there are some trades during the All-Star break, like among the, like can Team World trade with Team USA?
I don't know. It's after the trade deadline, so you can't.
Yeah. They're like, no, LeBron, yeah. LeBron demanded to represent the international team.
So we will talk about the previous 50 games, getting to here and our expectations heading into them and where they stand now. We'll talk about like what we would like to see from them moving forward. I've also started to notice that LeBron James is starting to get a little more vocal, I would say, about, you know, how he feels about the situation. And that feels noteworthy to me as we head down potentially the home stretch of the Lakers LeBron era. And then I've also noticed this thing, Harrison, because I don't think you and I have spoken since the like either right before or like during the deadline, basically.
It was it was the night of the deadline. It was after they did nothing. It was the last time we talked.
Right. So,
they added Luke Kennard. I shouldn't say they did nothing, but they didn't do a lot.
Right. And so, like, over the course of the last week or so, basically, since the deadline, and the Lakers have also filled their final roster spot with Kobe Bufkin, a move that I disagreed with, and people were just adamant that it was the right thing to do, especially at the time.
So you're disrespecting Kobe again. No surprise there.
It's just what I do. But the I've noticed that the not just news cycle, but the Twitter like analysis cycle has gone back to, it's what could Rob have actually done, and we'll just wait till what happens in a few months from now when the Lakers have cap space and assets and stuff like this. And it's, I think part of it is that, like, because I kind of knew what the trade deadline was going to bring about. And then like, I don't know if people noticed this, but I was getting more and more and more like angry the closer that we got to the deadline. And it was because like, cause you hear these things and you're like, no way. Like really, like we're punting again. And then, you know, not only do they punt the trade deadline by only, you know, using a second rounder for a Luke Kennard rental, but then they kind of sort of punt the buyout market as well by converting a guy who was already in their system, and no NBA team was like, we need Kobe Bufkin, you know? Those 40 points.
Did Reddick's comment not imply that to you? I it seemed to me like he was implying that there was another team that was going to try and offer him at the very least a two-way spot, so they felt like they had to keep him. Reddick, when he was talking about why they signed Bufkin, it sounded like he thought that there were, like, he was implying that there were other teams after him.
I did not hear anything about that. I heard what hit Reddick said, but I'm just saying that, like, I just think it's an explanation that you use after the fact, you know. The reality there is that, like, the Lakers really like Kobe Bufkin in his draft class. They got him into their system. Rob has really liked what he's seen from Kobe since. Rob was very much pro, this is going to shock everybody, pro Kobe. during the draft process. He, I guess they both went to Michigan or something like that. Like Kobe had just recently kind of mentioned that, like in his post signing quotes and stuff. And so like Rob has been after Kobe Bufkin for a while now. And seeing as the Lakers don't have a pro scouting department and the small one that they had before is now been stripped for parts. Like
they have a college scouting department currently.
Like, you know,
scouting department.
Not really. And so it was like, but anyway, so my larger point here is that like we've now arrived at the point where everybody seems to agree that the front office sucks. But when I bring up specific things that the front office does, those specific moves get defensive over the specific moves.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around waiting for the track to dry is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
And it's like, if we agree that the front office sucks, and I provide examples, you don't get to like pick and choose or
I do.
Every single example that I present, you know? But anywho, I want to talk about that at some point. I also really quickly, Harrison, want to talk about tanking before we dive into everything, because I've noticed the conversation and Jazz fans are acting super Newsmaxy. So I think that's been, you know, to pay attention to. So I want to hit on that too. Quick reminder, please hit that like and subscribe button. Hit that share button as well. That helps us quite a bit. If you guys are listening in podcast form, please subscribe wherever it is that you get your podcast, preferably on Odyssey, but I do not care where you listen, so long as you listen. And download your shows to, like this specific show, to all of your friends and family's phones. Again, no matter which app you choose to do that with, I'm fine with that as well.
Get them a virus. We don't care.
Yeah. It's even better if you do that, because it makes it harder for them to turn off auto delete or auto, you know. all right. I want to just really quickly touch on this like tanking thing, because
Bobby, can I also just say Newsmaxy, the title of my unsuccessful Maxi Kleber news blog.
I don't know why that wouldn't take off.
I thought that was going to be my LeBron wire. I thought there was a demand. People had a demand for Maxi, you know.
Or I bet like it took off like when you first launched it and like you had a whole bunch of interest that you did not want.
Yeah, they're like, what is this? What Max, who's Maxi Kleber?
All right. So the tanking thing, and I don't want to spend a ton of time of it, because we do have some other stuff that I want to get to, but for some reason, people are unwilling to grant that what like the Utah Jazz have been doing for the last two seasons is an escalation of tanking that we have not seen before. Because remember, Harrison, back when the Lakers were tanking.
Yeah, you just hired Byron Scott, and that's what you did. You know,
yeah,
you just hired a horrendous coach, and you let them
bunch
just
of bad
talk
players.
About how threes were devil magic, and like you know,
and it's like, if a team employs a bad coach and has a bunch of bad players, there isn't really much a league can do about it, right? Like you know. Like the reason the league stepped in with Hinkie is because like there was they didn't have certain players available all the time, and they were like bragging about the process and stuff. And I think that was something that the league was right to step into.
Pretty proudly like an asshole to like all the agents and players and whatever. And it's like that's the kind of thing where like enough people are going to complain to Adam Silver that he's like, I'm tired of this. Put in a Colangelo.
Right.
And that, like, the Jazz are really nice to all their players while tanking, you know. They're
but so what the Jazz are doing now, though, and the reason that I find it legitimately bad for the sport is they are like the cliche that used to exist about tanking was like teams and franchises tank, players don't, coaches mm-hmm. don't. And yeah. so, like, if you were watching a game, I would
dispute that, by the way. I mean, when coaches used to let Mark Madsen take like 10 threes in a game when the yeah. average like team 3-point attempts was 10. So I think, you know, coaches have always been involved in the tanking a little more than that stereotype. But players, I agree, in general, do not tank.
Yeah. And I think that is still the case, right? The players do not tank. Like, when they get out there on a basketball court, they're playing for their professional lives. So,
no, it's like the Wizards are signing deliberately, like, bad players, you know? It's like, those guys are trying. They're just not good at basketball.
But that's how you're, like, that, what's the phrase that's making the rounds? Ethical tanking, right? Like, that's ethical tanking.
No, what the Kings are doing is ethical tanking. Just pure ethical ass, you know? It's but no, like, lineup gimmicks. They're just a horrendous basketball team.
When you have a team that has a good coach, right? He is widely considered a good basketball coach. And you have, so like, if Byron Scott like played Ronnie Price, or when Byron Scott played Ronnie Price over Jordan Clarkson, it was like, what are we supposed to do? Byron's an idiot, you know? Like,
yeah.
But with who's, what's the coach's name there in Utah?
Will Hardy.
With Will Hardy, he's widely considered a really good coach, has had moments where he's proven himself to be a really good coach. And yeah. so, like, when he just chooses not to play Jaren Jackson Jr. down the home stretch of a game that Utah Jazz just happened to lose, like, that is him making a decision that he would not normally make. And it, I guess what I've been thinking about all day, Harrison, is like, I don't understand what the difference is between what, like, the Jazz are doing and like what the league kicked out Jonte Porter for doing. All of it.
That is quite the take.
But like, it's an entire organization basically deciding, you know, the outcome of games and doing whatever they can to negatively impact the outcome of that game. I don't understand what the difference is. I actually think what the Utah Jazz are doing is worse.
I disagree, because I think that this is not on the Jazz to me. We have teams that people complain about every year. Maybe not to that. This is a new frontier of what the strategy looks like to intentionally tank. Like, we haven't seen teams play their good players for three quarters and then like play the bad ones in the fourth so they can blow the lead. Like, that's new. And so, you know, that is different about what the Jazz are doing. But the Jazz are just doing what the NBA has incentivized them to do. The NBA, by rewarding losing and by very selectively punishing this lineup chicanery, where it's like, you know, hey, we're looking into the Thunder, you know, and their like injury reporting pattern, but like, you know, other teams are just gonna shut down guys willy-nilly, and like the Wizards are just not gonna play any of their players ever, and you know, all this stuff. Like, we're not really gonna look into that, but like, we're gonna randomly like punish the Jazz because like a couple of writers like noticed that like they were sitting Laurie randomly, and like now we're or like the Thunder complained to us that the Jazz were blatantly tanking to hold on to their pick that they were going to get otherwise,
right?
And so like this is a consequence of, this is what happens when you have weak leadership, and this is what happens when nobody is afraid of Adam Silver. And so the Jazz said, hey, look, you want to, like, it is in our best interest to lose these games to try and keep our draft pick. Like, that's inarguable that they should try to hold on to that first round pick this year. They're not going to win a championship this year. They should try to get that best asset possible. So, you know, when last year, when Adam Silver just comes in and he's like, hey, we're fining you for resting these guys, the Jazz say, okay, well, but we don't respect you, and so we're just going to play them at the start of the game so that you can't fine us. But then we're going to deliberately stick both middle fingers up at you and sit them down the stretch and like blatantly lose. But like, what are you going to do? Because we played our guys. We followed the player participation policy. And so like, this is where you see, you know, it's stuff, everything. We've seen a lot of consequences of teams not being afraid of Adam Silver and not thinking that he would crack down on them throughout the course of this year. You know, whether everything from the Pablo Torre investigation into the Clippers and aspiration and everything to stuff like this. It's just that nobody cares about this guy or thinks that he's going to seriously punish them or do anything. And so, of course, they're going to just nakedly do whatever is in their best interest. It's not their job to protect the game. That's Adam Silver's job.
But he did come down hard on Jontay Porter. Like, he did. And that's an easier thing for him to do.
Yeah, Jontay Porter broke the rules. What the Jazz are not breaking any rules here. You know what I mean? Like, if anything, the Jazz are basically giving gamblers a heads up that it's like, hey, probably live bet us to lose. You know, we're probably not going to win this game. Like, we've given you the signals that we are not trying to win. If you are betting money on us to win, you are like, that is a stupidity tax at this point. And so, like, what Jontay Porter was doing was he was coming in and he was like, all right, like, I'm ready to play, coach. And then he was like, I'm sick. And then checking out. That's a little different.
I guess I just don't see much difference there. You know, like, at the end of the day, neither party are...
I'm not arguing either is good for the game, but the Jontay Porter one to me is a more clear cut. Like, telling people, hey, I'm not going to, like, hey, by the way, bet my unders tonight because I am going to play, but I'm going to check myself out and fake an injury is a little different than, like, you know, we're just going to play our
bet my unders because we're going to start. I'm going to start tonight, but Coach Hardy's going to pull me after the third quarter. Like, no, I don't even think we're necessarily disagreeing. Like you just said. I think it's just that, like, the party that Adam Silver came down on is an easy one with Jontay Porter. It's one player, and if you frame it as just a one-off guy and you get him out of the league, he's gone, the headache is gone, everybody moves on. You can't come down on the Utah Jazz as an entire organization.
It's easier to come down on an employee than to come down on your boss. And when it comes down to it, the Jazz are Adam Silver's boss.
Right. Well, yes. And you know, same goes for, and it's just like, remember how everybody, and I was one of them, right, who was like, Adam Silver, best commissioner ever, because he got Donald Sterling up out of there because of the racist remarks that Donald, be absolutely clear, I am not like, I don't think Donald Sterling should still be in the league.
He clearly made the right call there.
It was absolutely, but it was such an easy call.
Yeah.
This guy's on, like, you can hear his audio, his voice saying these horrendous things.
And I think Adam Silver, I think that there could probably be studies to be done on how that impacted Adam Silver's commissionership, getting so much praise out of the gate. It's like, oh, this is the good commissioner. This is the guy we like. And like how that may have altered, you know, his willingness to sort of be an asshole like David Stern was. And like sometimes the commissioner's job is to be an asshole. Like if David Stern was still the commissioner, the Jazz would not be doing this shit because David Stern would say, hey, do that again. And I'm just docking you your first round pick. It's just gone.
Will Hardy, okay? You ever want to work in basketball again? Not the NBA.
Yeah.
You will be able to coach the Washington Generals. Like, you know, and that's the thing that I've been thinking about over the course of the day is like, I think what the Utah Jazz are doing is unethical. It's bad. And it calls into question the legitimacy of what fans are paying real money to go out and watch night by night. You know,
I'm not going to disagree with you that it's bad for the sport. I just don't think it's the Jazz's job to fix it. I think it's the league's.
Well, so this is another thing that I've been thinking about because, and I think this is the commissioner's job to remind players and teams that they should care about this. But what far too many teams and players and coaches and like just the entire league, what they have forgotten, I think, over the last few years is that the health of the league matters more than
I agree with you, but whose job is it to remind them that that's important?
Yeah. No, I think that's the commissioner's job. And Adam Silver, like, this is the spot where Adam Silver has failed the most.
for doing these things that are bad for the game, then they wouldn't do them because they are self-interested. But the thing, he's given them no self-interest reason to not just do whatever they want.
But also it's like, not disagreeing, I'm saying, and also like, it's kind of like where we kind of reside as a society, right? Where it's like,
yeah, I mean, yes.
You know, like at some point we have to care about the common man too. We have to care about the world outside of ourselves. And the moment that we all basically just decide that it's like, it's a free for all, we could all just get away with whatever we want to get away with, we're fucked. It's over. You can't trust your neighbors at that point.
That hyper-competitive people in very unstable jobs in a 30-team league are not going to be the ones to lead the vanguard of, like, you know, I got to do what's best for the league here. Like, they all have their own day-to-day incentives. They're all under the gun every single day. I mean, the players less so, but, like, you know, Will Hardy could get fired and never get another head coaching job. You know, he's got to do what he's got to be a good organizational man. Like, you know, the front office, I mean, Danny Ainge probably doesn't need another job at this point, but it's like, you know, they have to do their owner's bidding. And if their strategy to maintain employment the longest is to, you know, hey, we're going to tank because you can't get mad at me for bad results if bad results are the plan, then, you know, like, I can't really fault them for that. Like, everyone wants to remain employed.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I just, societal lines do eventually have to be drawn, you know? And like, yes, you're right that these are like particularly more high, you know, high stress jobs and more sought after jobs than almost anywhere else in the world. I will grant all of that, but like everybody exists in high stress. Like the only people who don't seem like we all are living in one way or another, trying to scrap and scrape and claw to a more comfortable life than we currently have, or even tougher, to continue to manage the same life that we currently have as it comes under fire from a variety of different angles. And it's like, if we just accept, you know what, I'm out for number one, or I'm out for what's best for my family, it allows you to explain away doing all kinds of really shitty things in the name of just trying to get by, man. And I think what we're kind of seeing here from the Utah Jazz, and by extension their fans, is like, I give two shits about the league. Without the league, there's no Utah Jazz, you freaking idiots. Like,
yeah, that's a part of this. Again, if I'm a Jazz fan, I'm just saying the Jazz are just being more honest about what plenty of other teams have done over the years.
I don't know that they're being more honest. I think they're taking it to the next natural step.
Yeah, they're taking it to the next logical extreme. You know, this is the natural continuation of Mark Madsen shooting 97 three-pointers in a Timberwolves game, you know?
Right.
This is where that road leads. Eventually, it's going to lead to, like, you know, Adam Silver will probably be thrilled about this, but I was joking on Twitter yesterday that, like, you know, where this is going to lead is, like, you know, NBA teams are going to, like, sign Mr. Beast to a 10-day contract so that he can talk about, like, face-mogging in an NBA game, and, like, they can get, like, their basketball-like content out on YouTube and whatever, and Adam Silver's like, look at all the impressions we're getting as he gets back cut on defense. And, you know, like that's the next avenue of tanking.
Bye, everyone.